Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to our podcast, Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa. Today, we are talking more about IFS parts therapy, but today we're going to be focusing more on how this relates to our sexuality and sexual wellness. So, what comes to mind, Melissa, with this topic?
Oh, it's breaking down the voices in our heads that either say, yes, I want this, no, I don't want this, you're bad if you want that, you're good if you do this. It's all of that theme. Having all these voices in our minds, and it's really all these different parts, and a lot of it is other people's voices and things that were placed upon us when we were growing up. It's being able to separate them all, discern what it is, so that you can hear your actual self and hear what's actually good for you. And we aren't taught that. Like, nobody teaches us about these. I mean, we've all heard of the inner critic when we're doing like creative exercises and things or creative projects, but it comes up in sex as well. Like, sex
Yeah,
is a
your inner coach, your inner critic.
right? Exactly. So it's being able to know what those parts are, know what they're saying, and being able to discern, is this true, real, and right for me?
Yeah, and so the first very basic baby step concept of IFS parts therapy is the idea of self, that observer part of us that can sort of almost interview or negotiate or what's the word? Like referee some of these polarized parts and even be the therapist for yourself sometimes once you learn how to do this, right? Like to when you have polarized parts, like one part wants this, but the other part wants that. You know, like there could be one very curious part, right? And then you have this part that's like, oh, what, this is wrong, or will I be safe, or, you know, that sort of a thing. So, yeah, do you have anything to add about having like a strong sense of self or that observer part of us?
So my personal experience with this is having a very shaky sense of self. Being raised in a narcissistic environment, my sense of self is attached to, is this parent okay? Am I doing it right to get the approval of the parent? So there was a lot of self-abandonment, and that amplified when it came to sexuality, because I would abandon myself to make sure the partner was happy, and then I felt really empty. On top of that, I had the voices that are like, oh, you're bad because you want this, or you're bad because you receive pleasure this way. So it was this onslaught of negative thoughts, and then feeling really empty after having sex, and then confused because I'm like, well, I have this part that wants it. I have this part over here that's like, no, you're bad. And then the consistent experience of dissociating and abandoning myself. So it's taken like years to learn first that was not serving me at all. I was really frustrated and felt, I mean, yeah, I just felt bad all the time. I'm just bad and empty. I'm like, what is happening? Once I started to learn how to feel my feelings, which required me to put my attention back onto myself and be like, what's actually here and real for me right now? When I started to learn how to feel and then started to learn how to communicate, things got better. But I still feel like a work in progress when it comes to feeling rooted, centered, and grounded in my body, in myself, and in my experience.
I think it's a work in progress for me too. And I feel like with this podcast and us discussing it and not having the subject be so secretive and not talked about, how we can evolve, the two of us and our listeners too, into like a more balanced and healthy way of living. Now, what you were talking about, where like the abandonment of self, focusing on the other person, I feel like that is a protective part. When our feelings become too much and we don't want to feel them, if all we do is focus on another person's issues, then it's like we don't have to face that. We don't have to feel that. So it makes sense. But what so many people don't understand is that when they repress their feelings, that doesn't make them go away for good. Mm-hmm. It just makes them more pressurized. Like they could explode into a trigger at any moment. And that's not what we want either. So that's why IFS parts therapy is such a good idea, because you can allow that emotion from those triggered things to release in a comfortable, safe place. And then you don't have to walk around feeling like so tense in your body, so pressurized that this energy wants to be released, because we all have had various forms of trauma in our childhood. And often we don't have the tools to process that, what happened to us. And we don't have that figure all the time, that coach or compassionate figure to help soothe us as a child. And so as an adult, unconsciously, this is all playing out, and often in our sex lives. And so when we really bring to light the various parts of us that, especially the parts that are polarized around the subject of our sexuality, we can really bring to light like what happened, and not necessarily what happened in our childhood, because we don't have to go into nitty gritty detail in order to release that emotion. But it just brings to light what issues are there that are hindering the life that we wish to live, if that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's looking at how our experiences are affecting our life, not the experience itself. It's just what was the result of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so like a lot of people project their issues onto their partner because mm-hmm. they're not willing to look at their own stuff. But what we need to realize is that not only do we have sometimes polarized parts in regards to sex, our partner does also, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody has parts that are curious about it, and everybody has parts that are like, whoa, 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 you know, pull the ring. Like we can't go all, you know, we have to keep this very powerful energy under control because like for our happiness, so that people like us, so that, you know, like so that we're not labeled anything bad. And sometimes I feel like the whole idea of wanting to be, you know, right instead of wrong, or good instead of bad, if that's not sometimes just like a tool to control people, you know, like if that wasn't a thing, if we would just pivot to what feels more, you know, what feels right for us instead of what feels right to everyone else around us or society. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I could go deeper into that, but I want to refocus on parts of ourselves. So just going into your story a little bit, how do you feel that the idea of parts has helped you navigate your sexual wellness?
All this stuff is like downloading at the same time. I'm like, okay, which story do we go with?
Pick a tab, any tab.
Seriously, I'm like, wait. I'm getting this memory of when I was 20 and I was making out with this guy, and he wanted to take things further. I did too. I remember having the desire to go further. And the shame part came in and was like, no, he's not going to respect you. He's going to use you. Like all this stuff that, again, was not mine, that was placed on me. I remember at that moment, those intrusive thoughts won. I stopped everything. Super confusing for both of us because of the thoughts. And that, I remember that being one of the first times that like the thoughts really won and really like, yeah, I just stopped everything because I had freaked out. He was not doing anything wrong or bad or anything. It was just like I couldn't hold those thoughts. I couldn't hold myself in that and discern what was actually right for me. So moving forward, those types of things would continue to happen. And I remember partners telling me, just relax, Melissa, just relax, because I would be super tense and like, it's like constantly caught between I want this, I'm doing it, and then I'm bad, I can't. So it was very black and white. Like my parts at the time were like super black and white. And I had to, over time, and writing erotica really helped me start to pull these parts apart and get real about how I actually felt and what I actually wanted from my sexual experiences. It was looking at those parts and constantly having to remind them that I was in charge and that this was okay because I was choosing it. I was following my intuition to the best of my ability. And I didn't need that. I just didn't need that anymore. It wasn't even mine to begin with. So it's again like using that discernment to see and know and understand like, this is not even mine. This was placed on me. And does it serve me? No, it doesn't. So what would serve me? And it's not even creating new parts. It's
Giving
creating
him
a
a
new,
different job, maybe.
basically, yes, absolutely. It's they get to have a different job, and I get to decide as an adult what is right for me in any sort of given moment.
I can relate to that 100%, being raised in a cult and having to totally rewrite my beliefs and find out what was right for me, what felt right to my intuition. And yeah, that reassurance of the parts, you know, that like it's basically like almost reparenting with the parent that you wish that you had to reassure those parts and to navigate in a spirit of like, I loved when you said, I don't need that anymore. Like it wasn't a resistance because what you resist persists. What we give energy to is fueled, whether good or bad, whether wanted or unwanted. So the energy of like, I don't need this anymore, so I can give this part another job, or like this isn't serving me, and what would serve me? In order to figure out what does serve us, we have to bring those things that don't serve us to the light. We can't keep them in the darkness. We can't stuff them down and not talk about them, you know? And so that's what we're doing here on the podcast. We're bringing up the things that people don't talk about very often in order to like bring them to light for people and be like, oh yeah, what would serve me better?
Absolutely. Yes. And also having the courage to look at the patterns that have played out habitually in all of our lives. Like you're not alone dealing with any of that. Having the courage to be able to do that and just decide for yourself, like, is this even real or right for me? Like, where did I learn this?
Yeah. I've been learning a lot about like obviously the mind, because that subject has fascinated me for forever. But yeah, I've been learning a lot about like psychic, or not psychic, but like what you think about, what you focus on. Also, when other people project their stuff onto you, to be able to recognize that, like how important the sense of self is. so that you don't internalize stuff, other people's stuff, whether it's stuff from your parents or stuff from wherever you got in the past or stuff from your current partner. Like, you don't need to internalize their stuff. You can just know who you are, and everything else is just kind of going to like wash right off you, like that energy. It's like, or you don't even have to place yourself in their energy anymore if that is something that's not serving you. Like, I can't even, you know, emphasize enough how important this a strong sense of self is. And like, you don't get that overnight. Like, you slowly build that up. Like, and you're writing erotica, or me just writing in my journal, like, of what comes up and what you'd prefer. That's how you get there.
Yes, absolutely. It's just like, it's reframing one thought at a time, one journal entry at a time. It doesn't happen overnight, and that's okay. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Don't stop doing the work. Like, it doesn't have to take forever because it's a never ending journey. So, I mean, like, we're always evolving. So, but this is giving you the tools and the practice to be able to see yourself, hold yourself, connect to yourself, so that you have relationships and a sex life that actually feels good to you.
Exactly. And that's what therapy means to me. It's reframing, right? It's giving another perspective of what's been holding you back, or like a trauma or something, even grief, like reframing it, giving it another meaning can make all the difference in your attitude. Like, when your inner thoughts switch from the inner critic to the inner coach, when you recognize the inner critic and can switch them, when you are retraining your brain. And like, when I first became a therapist, there was such a learning curve, right? Because I was so used to being just the listener, and I would listen the whole hour, and they would just pour out their story over and over and over again, different ways. But now I've realized that a good therapist says, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but can I interrupt you there? Or can I just stop you there? When you notice the story being told again, and then looking at it from a different light, like, what would you prefer instead of, I'm stuck in this rut?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I fully believe deep down, everybody knows what they want. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know what I want. I don't know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You might feel afraid of letting it come out, but you know what you want.
And usually it's along the lines as kind of something opposite of what you don't want.
Yep. Yep. Totally.
I mean, there's a lot of nuance, obviously, but yes. Yeah, it's a clue.
Yep.
Like, definitely. Everything your body is saying in terms of pain or in terms of illness is just a message for you. Once you get the memo, your body can begin to restore itself back to balance.
Absolutely. Yes.
Like, all of these parts of ourselves, they reside in our body, not in our head space. People think, oh, all my thinking is in my brain. No, it's not. Your whole body is your subconscious mind and stores memories and traumas and all that. And when they are given a chance to talk instead of being locked away somewhere in a box, when those parts of ourselves are given a chance to have their say, to negotiate with other parts, to come together and collaborate and work together for our best happiness, then
I love that. Absolutely. Yes. I'm also so excited to talk about our topic next week. We are going to share with you a couple of our favorite books.
Yeah, you're going to bring all the sexy books, and I'm going to bring all the therapy books, and we'll have some fun, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are my favorite topics.
Yeah. I'm bringing a book or two that has impacted my life like so much. It's just reframed almost like everything instantly. It's just like, oh, I don't have to do that. I can do this. And then I was just like, my life is so much easier now. Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm also bringing one of my favorite books. I've read this book 3 times. That just helped me. Speaking of like getting in touch with ourselves, it has helped me do exactly that. but like in a sexy way.
I can't wait.
Yay. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Bye.